I'd like to start in Proverbs 6, verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Been mulling this one for a little bit. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no chief, overseer, or ruler, provideth her bread in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long, sluggard, wilt thou lie down? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall thy poverty come as a roving plunderer, and thy penury as an armed man. Read this before going out to work. It's definitely stuck with me. Trying to be very diligent that day. The scripture talks a lot, actually, about the sluggard, especially in the Proverbs, but all through scripture. It's mentioned various places, we'll read about it, where it is ones who are putting off things, or you think of the many that Jesus was speaking to, of delaying, or decision-making, or whatever it may be. And there's this theme of laziness that's not looked well upon in scripture, and I just wanted to just go over a few more proverbs that were just speaking about this to really get it across, and then I was hoping to speak to us as well about our spiritual appetite, our spiritual desire for seeking after God. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through many scriptures. And I pray we might not be sluggish this morning, but you can follow along with me. And we're just going to go to Proverbs 26, verse 14, and it says, as the door turneth upon its hinges, so the sluggard upon his bed. The sluggard burieth his hand in the dish, it wearieth him to bring it again to his mouth. And in Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the winter. He shall beg in the harvest and have nothing. And finally, Proverbs 24. In verse 30, it says, I went by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thistles and nettles. Had covered the face thereof, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I looked and I took to it heart. I saw and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. So shall thy poverty come. As a roving plunderer, and then penury as an armed man. Paul touches on this in Thessalonians, where there's lazy ones in the actual company itself, just practically. It says, if they do not work, they shall not eat. And in Matthew, there's also, we got touches of this, where there's the parable of the talents, where the man going away gives his bondman talents, and there's the one bondman who does nothing with his talent. And the man comes back and he rebukes him, thou wicked and slothful man. Now there's very much practical application, like I was saying, in our day-to-day lives. The Bible, the scripture would tell us to be diligent in all things that we do, to be faithful and work hard. And it's spoken so well of this practical side of working with our hands. And as this sluggard in Proverbs is said, is we should be the direct opposite, working diligently. But this, what I wanted to touch on today, you could speak on these things, but what I wanted to touch on today, I think really shines in Matthew chapter 6. So these things, this work is all good, and in its place is all perfect. I'll just read Matthew 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust spoils, and where thieves dig through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust spoils, where thieves do not dig through nor steal. But where thy treasure is, there will also be your heart. So I'm contrasting some things here. I just was talking about a sluggard who doesn't work, and now I'm saying don't lay up treasures here. But in the Bible, it's yes, we need to provide in these things, but what is of more importance, what is more worth, is working for this heavenly treasure, this working towards building up our faith diligently digging into the Word of God, seeking to be better understanders and better testimonies here for God. And in the end of chapter 6 in Matthew, it says, "Be not therefore careful what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or what ye shall put on, for all these things the nations seek." These daily provisions. All these things the nations seek after. "For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be not careful therefore for the morrow, for the morrow shall be careful about itself." And this is, I was just wanting to contrast this Proverbs of the sluggard, and I was just really struck with how this, speaking to myself, has come in my personal relationship and my personal faith. Just as we need that daily food for feeding our bodies, our bread, this provision, God looks after that. He takes care of us. We need to be diligent in working for that. But are we lazy spiritually? Are we putting off the things of God, the things of eternal weight, the things that are of God's kingdom? I find too often, sometimes I can be very diligent, very busy, a busy body, so to speak, but I find too often I'm content with the knowledge that I have of God. I'm not seeking him out every morning. I'm not desiring to know more of his wonderful character. I find myself lazy in this sense. And it might have in part to do with, we've been speaking a lot on, you know, what are we feeding on? And too often our days are filled and I'm filling my time or my hours with things that are actually draining or pulling or taking me further away from God. And just like the sluggard, I find myself sometimes without food. Now, it's fantastic that we can come together, and it's so necessary to be feeding one another spiritually. But too often I find myself in a drought. And I know the reason. It's because I haven't been feeding on Christ. This is such a necessary thing for each of us as individuals, as parents, and as brothers and sisters in the family of God. What a blessing it is to feed one another, but I pray that we might all be diligent and be learning how to find food for ourselves from God's Word. This wonderful touch in Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes. I'll just read the first section here. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." This is what I wanted to highlight. "Blessed they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are merciful, for they shall find mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted on account of righteousness, for theirs the kingdom of the heavens. Blessed are ye when they reproach and persecute you, and say every wicked thing against you, lying for my sake. Rejoice and exult, for your reward is great in the heavens, for thus have they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And just with the theme of today, this I thought was very apt. "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I have touched this in my life before. God blesses you when you dig into his word, when you seek him out. You are filled. And it's when we get taste, when we are more in his word, That's when we hunger more after him. When we are more with the people of God, that's when we'll thirst for more of him. When you are away from God, you start to lose that. Your appetite changes to other things. Other things will quickly swoop into that place. And then you'll find yourself in a not good place spiritually. And I just think of the sluggard. I think of those times during the week where you come on a Sunday or on a Bible study. And I'm just struggling, you know, to follow along or to, you know, to understand. And it's, I find myself when it's those times, it's because I haven't been in God's Word. I haven't been close to Him. But it's the times when I have been amongst His people in His Word that those Lord's Day mornings are just that much more powerful, that much more special. And you get a taste of this filling that God would bless those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And righteousness is something we seek out and can apply in all our life, at work, amongst our friends, how we live our lives. We're seeking to be upright. And I want to touch on a few people who had this kind of hunger and thirst for righteousness in Scripture, just for some reference. There's first off Moses in Exodus, chapter 33, verse 15. It says, "And he said to him, If thy presence do not go, bring us not up hence." Moses had tasted this, and he did not want to leave where God was. He did not want to go in without the presence of God. He didn't want to enter without that. Job is spoken of as a righteous and upright man who, in all his ways, was perfect before God. The sons of Korah in Psalm 84, wonderful psalm. It says, verse 1 and 2, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Jehovah of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." And in verse 10, "For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." The sons of Korah touched on something. It touched that satisfying food. That it entered into the presence of God and did not want to leave. How much better it was to be there. David as well. And we read all through the Psalms of his desire to be with God, how he hungered after God's truth and his righteousness. Luke 2, it talks of a prophetess named Anna in the temple, and when Mary and Joseph were going with Jesus the Lord as a baby to the temple, it speaks that she was married for 7 years and then a widow for a whole number. I'll just get it for reference. Luke chapter 2 and verse
36.
And there was a prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, who was far advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and herself a widow up to 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And she, coming at the same hour, gave praise to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who waited for redemption in Jerusalem. This woman here dedicated to Jehovah, and I feel as blessed at this time to identify the baby Jesus. We have Mary sitting at the Lord's feet. Martha, you know, being busy and all that, and the Lord says she has chosen the better thing, thirsting and hungering with righteousness. And Paul as well, all throughout the New Testament, desiring the Lord Jesus Christ. There's so many good examples. And I think most of us here we would all want this. But like I said, It's our food and our thirst. And it can be so quickly filled with other things. I want us to be diligent in seeking the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We need to be building up this appetite for God's word, for speaking to others, for sharing and lifting and encouraging one another up. Our faith is a very practical faith, and it's something that we need to be applying every day. And our walk as Christians, and our wherever we are, this righteousness is our walk with the Lord, right? It's our in our work and in our school, just allowing Christ to be there. And for me, it's just this, how I need to be seeking out earnestly this food, this drink, because I know when I haven't been, how much it hits and how it's lacking, and how it's a continual daily thing that we need to be doing. And spiritually, we can enter into this slumber. We can be content with what we know of God, but I just pray that we might be desiring more. Because once we know more of God, we actually become greater worshipers for God. We can only praise and really give thanks and worship as far as we know God. But when you experience God through trials, through proving Him to your friends or whatever, you are able to grow in your faith. And you know God greater. And you understand Him better. And these things are things of eternal weight. Treasures that we're storing in heaven. This is a knowledge that will have eternal impact. Eternal weight. I'd like to finish with two more scriptures. I don't want to drag this on. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. It says, "This also, knowing the time, that it is already time that we should be aroused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is near. Let us cast away, therefore, the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. As in the day, let us walk becomingly, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering or lasciviousness, not in strife and emulation, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not take forethought for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." And finally, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Starting in verse 9, maybe. "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many unwise and hurtful lusts which plunge men into destruction and ruin. For the love of money is the root of every evil, which some have aspired after, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." And verse 11. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, piety, faith, love, endurance, meekness of spirit. Strive earnestly in the good conflict of faith. Lay hold of eternal life, to which thou hast been called and hast confessed the good confession before many witnesses. I enjoin thee therefore before God, who preserves all things in life, and Christ Jesus, who witnessed before Pontius Pilate the good confession, that thou wilt keep the commandments spotless, irreproachable, unto the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in its own time the blessed and only ruler shall show, the King of those that reign, the Lord of those that exercise lordship, who only has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen nor is able to see, to whom be honor and eternal might. Amen. Enjoin on those rich in the present age not to be high-minded, nor to trust on the uncertainty of riches, but in the God who affords us all things richly for our enjoyment, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be liberal in distributing, disposed to communicate of their substance, laying by for themselves a good foundation for the future, that they may lay hold of what is really life." "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, Romans says, awake from your sleep. I think we can see around us too, many churches sleeping, many Christians idle. I just pray that we as believers might not only be diligent in our work and in our day-to-day, but spiritually diligent and faithful to one another, and diligent in our own study, in our own relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just pray that this word might be blessed as it goes out. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.